Hello, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
The podcast where, for better or worse, for good or bad, we grind out every experience presented to us and give you our honest opinion on those experiences. Thank you, as always, for joining this fucking ridiculous, ramble shit show that we do.
To get the full experience.
You better find us on YouTube, y'all.
On this episode.
We
grind your way over to YouTube.
Ooh, we make puns on our show so much, and like, I don't think anybody likes it as much
puns
as us.
Puns on puns. I don't care. I love
it.
I love it, man. All day.
I've said it before, and I will say it until I die, probably. We have the best fucking podcast and website name, period.
It's pretty good.
I don't know how the fuck it wasn't taken, man. How has nobody grabbed Experience Grind?
It's weird because it seems like such an obvious title.
I know, it seems
like somebody would have thought of it.
We got that shit.
But they didn't. We got it.
I remember before we started this, we were going back and forth like, what are we going to call this? We had the idea for the podcast. I presented it to you. I was like, dude, let's do this. And you're like, yeah. And then we were like, what are we going to call it? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that kind of works. I don't know. Two dorks, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, dude, what about Experience Grind? And you're like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it worked, man. That's where we are. We're here today because of that, because we rambled on Facebook Messenger for like 2 weeks.
That is how this started.
And then it took a lot longer, and we jumped in, man. I'm so glad.
That's an origin story on par with Wolverine's.
Yeah, man. Well, Wolverine,
from that movie, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Hashtag Wolverine ain't got shit on us, dog.
As fuck.
As fuck.
Hashtag
not
Wolverine
not
ain't got nothing
fuck.
Shit on us
as
fuck.
As fuck. Not
as fuck. Fuck.
Not
I'm saying
ass
as
fuck.
Not fuck.
Not blasting in the ass.
Are you done with this episode now? Fucks, fucks, fucks. There's so many fucks.
Speaking of fucks, we haven't given one of these for a while, but
a fuck? We haven't given a fuck?
We have not given a fuck, but also, you know, loyal listeners of the audience, if you've still stuck around to this point, I just like to say fuck you, because we haven't given one of those for a while. You can eat an asshole. Why are you listening
to this?
This is awful.
This is going to be our most contentious episode ever. This is where we get people to leave.
You could spend so much, like you could learn to knit. You could be jerking off right now, but you're listening to us.
What if they're jerking off and listening to us at the same time?
That's what I do when I'm doing edits to the episodes. God, I got my dick and my balls in both hands. Like, I'm going at it, man. It's the way it goes.
What was that? How do you do that? I do something different. That's, I've been doing something else.
You don't ball massage? Are you more of a belly rub guy? Sounded in here, Andrew's playing with his nipples while he's jerking. I get it, man. It's part of it. Everybody's got their thing.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to judge anybody for how they get their rocks off, dog.
This is just like that Mass Effect episode where we talked about
porn for
the
like
first 15 minutes.
I mean, we still could. I can always talk about porn, but I don't want to.
What are we talking about today, Kyle?
Today we're going to talk about, for real, let's get a little serious here.
Yes. All right, hold on. Serious face.
This is... For real, completely honest, one of the weirdest and most unique games I think that has been developed by a major company or just anybody in general ever. The game is Nier, pronounced Nier, spelled N-I-E-R. I actually Googled how to pronounce it, and they say Nier. It's almost like a French-German bastardization, and that will make more sense as we get into more of the game. But it's fantastic. It's weird. It's made by Square Enix.
Yes.
It's a hack and slash at its core, but sprinkled in on top of that is so much more weirdness, convoluted crap going on that makes it one of the most unique games you can play today. So that's what the episode is about. Do you content that? Do you agree with that?
I think I agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
It is a unique experience, and it's one I didn't know before this episode.
You had never talked... We came to this one because you were very nice a long time ago during the Star Wars Episode 7 fandom.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We had made a wager, and the wager was who would decide a special set of a movie and a game. And you won hands down. Well, not hands down. You beat me by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
But in your everlasting grace, you decided to extend to me the option to choose the game.
Mm-hmm.
While you chose the movie, which we are still getting to, and that movie is The Raid 2.
Berendahl.
But for the game, I chose this game, Nier, because it didn't make either of our list. And you had, I think, you owned it, but you...
I bought it. but
you,
I've
you
never
didn't really know
it.
Anything about it.
I knew it was supposed to be weird.
Yeah, okay, and that is the most apt, succinct description of this game possible. It is fucking weird.
It lived up to that.
And oh my god, it is weird as hell. Mm-hmm. But it's we'll break down more into it. But yeah, man, I just want to stop there and just say it's fucking weird, man.
So weird.
You want to do Andre now? We can do Andre. We had the intro, but we don't have an intro.
I was gonna say, like, maybe we don't need the intro question.
That's
with
fine.
Our long talk at the beginning.
I think that, and it's also, well, this is, I have an anticipation.
This might be a longer episode.
Yes,
so.
I do, because there's a, dude, I'm telling you, ladies and lads listening, there is a lot to this fucking game. It has depths like a 7-layer nacho dip, but add like 14 layers to that dip. I'm looking at sound engineer Andrew, and I'm
so it's
out.
It's a 21-layer dip. Damn. Why didn't we just say that?
Why are you good with math, man?
Hey guys, it's like you have a box of French fries. But, you know, it's a bigger box of French fries. You know, like a large size.
Oh,
now it's like that.
Now we're patronizing? Are we going to patronize, Doc?
Yeah.
So we'll skip that. Let's get into this sponsorship. It is always, as has always been, our unofficial sponsor. But the good friends of the show, I can say that I feel confidently.
Yeah.
They do like us. We do like them. We do drink them every episode. It's Andre.
A good community manager who has a good sense of humor.
Man, and he
at
fucking,
the very least.
He loves Star Wars, which is, dude, that blew my mind. Andre, California champagne guy, you're the best. As always, that's what we drink. That's what is the fuel for the show. Loosens the lips, both these lips and the butt lips, for after show excursions. We are really deep into it. I don't know. This is the second episode we're recording. Spoilers, I don't know when it'll come out, but we're kind of already pretty deep into our second bottle of Andre now.
Yeah, but I don't think I feel as bad as you do because...
Oh, you're not into butt lips?
I'm not into butt lips as much, no.
So, I don't know how to tie Andre and Denier, unfortunately. Do you have any clue? Like,
because it's so weird, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's worked well for almost everything else we've done until
you know. All right, here you go. I never felt like much of a champagne guy, you know? But I feel like in this other reality, there was a shade of me that loved Andre. And I think maybe that's the protagonist.
Okay, are you ready for this? This is what I'm giving you.
I think that's the only way to do it.
Very nice work, man. You tied that fucking perfectly, dude. That was good. I could not have come with that. So yeah, of course, we're drinking Andre Moscato. Is that how you pronounce it?
Moscato. Yeah, Moscato.
It's like Mosquito, but it's a champagne with an A, Moscato. So
deep thoughts with Kyle.
Yeah, I don't know. We've
Moscato
never had...
Moscato is like a mosquito, but...
I think this is the first time we've had this... flavor variation.
It's good.
It's not the worst one we've had from Andre. I think the worst one we had was that purple one. What was that? I can't remember. I didn't like it, and I don't think it's a front on Andre. I don't think I would like that flavor from any champagne company. So
not had that issue yet.
So you know, just throwing it out there. If you're throwing a party, if you're playing near. You know, maybe you got your pants off and you're jerking it, listening to us.
This is why it becomes the Dick and Fart joke after a bottle of Andre, apparently.
Take your Andre champagne and enjoy it. I'm not telling you to also shove the bottle up your butthole
there
and play with yourself.
There it is.
But if you want to, I will not judge you for it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my God.
Hey man, you agreed to be my co-host on
I
this.
Did.
Cheers to that, buddy.
I don't feel like I should.
I bet you're going to.
This is a shame cheers.
Ah,
I feel very bad about
shame
this.
Shame cheers is like...
On the ground, floor on the ground, sideways.
I don't know. We've taken really weird turns. Like, God, it's twisted everywhere already.
It is. You want to talk about Antichrist now?
Dude, I really want to, but I don't think we should for this episode. But man, we are going to talk about that movie. I know it's like, we've talked about it so much... Like, we've been hyping it. We have to at this point.
I think it should just be an ongoing joke.
And that we're going to talk about Antichrist?
And we never do.
Okay.
This podcast ends before we do Antichrist. God, we just constantly talk about it throughout the entire show.
Oh, man, I don't want to.
But we never do an episode
I do want to talk about Antichrist at some point.
That's the thing is we just do it little by little and pepper it in.
Maybe. Here's
so the audience doesn't know they're getting 10 hours of Antichrist.
What if we make Antichrist the one paid episode? And then, like, we always talk about
it. We reference it nonstop.
And then, like, people are, well, goddamn,
shameless.
I gotta listen to it. Well,
it's
yeah,
pretty
but
shameless.
We want money.
Do we?
At some point, we will never. I don't know. Money be great. I just love to talk about this shit with you, dude.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing it. Yeah. Unlike Donald Trump over here.
God damn it! Why are you bringing Trump back into this? I thought we escaped this.
You can't escape the Trump bump.
That's true. The Trump dump.
He's gonna come hump you in your rump, give you that mad pump, and then you'll be like, "Whoop whoop."
And the I lost space at the end there. And the space between. The last episode
the
in this
space
one,
between
your rap skills have not increased, and but
your wicked lies,
your ability to reference really bad 90s songs has increased. You're doing that flawlessly.
I'm very good at 90s songs, especially the bad ones.
Who was that? The space That's between
Dave Matthews.
Is it Dave Matthews?
Yeah.
Did you like Dave Matthews?
No.
Okay.
But then. I know almost every single the words to every single song.
Everybody I knew fucking loved Dave Matthews growing up, and I'm like. Yeah. What?
I don't get it.
Why? Yeah, it's not.
I'm turned off to jam bands, and he is the jammiest dude band. I just can't.
He's really not, but he's the most popular, unfortunately. But yeah, I get what you're saying. I hate him too.
That's fair.
Fuck him. So, anyways, we did sponsorship. Man, we're kind of flying through this opening intro at this point.
I don't think it's flying.
You don't? It's gone way quicker than the last one where we talked about some movie for.
We talked about the Civil War trailer for.
Yeah.
40 minutes and it was mostly comic talk.
Yeah, it was.
We didn't even get to the Civil War trailer until 20 minutes
in. This has not happened at all in this
one.
We
are burying the lead, which is near a fantastic game.
Oh, that's a spoiler. I did not know you were going to come out with that. I had not talked to you about this. But anyways.
Bleep it out. Bleep that out.
Before we get into it.
Bleep game.
We're gonna have... What are we doing? This is the musical bump.
I got the no. He's not gonna.
What are we going with for the musical bump here? Is this the intro that I picked?
This is no. It's not this.
Okay. Okay.
Oh man, I should have written this down. This is. I want to say the boss theme for. I think the Automatons. Were you the two brothers in the mine where you have to go in and fight the robots?
Okay, yeah.
This is the boss theme for that robot specifically. Very gear grindy, very mechanical.
Hey, that works
I
for the show.
I thought it was kind of fitting. So
high
that's
five.
Why I picked
high
it.
High five on that one, bro.
And it's actually just a really good track. So you'll hear a little bit of that, and then we'll come back for a discussion of Nier.
So there we go. That was a track from Nier. And I will say, this will come up quite frequently. The music in this game is top notch. I would rate this game an 8, maybe, on itself for the story and the weirdness of it itself. The music easily elevates it to a 9.5 or a full 10. The soundtrack is bar none. And I will break it down more when we're really talking about the game.
Yeah,
because I have a lot of nice things I know about this soundtrack. But anyways, before we get into that, we have a little thing you and I like to do now. It's a newer segment where we both try to break down and summarize the entire game or movie within a minute time frame.
Yeah.
And you and I are both going to take a shot at
this
one.
This one's complicated. So
complicated is an understatement.
Warning, I'm not good at these. When it's a simple movie, it's going to be a mess, at least in my side.
Kyle
will probably fucking do it brilliantly, like he has been.
That's what, I don't know. You're putting pressure on me now. I'll probably choke. But anyways, okay, so first up, we're going to have Ryan.
Oh, I'm first? Ah, you bastard.
Of course. I got to always outshine you, bro. Right, and here we go. Ryan, start now.
All right, so Nier is the story of a man who loves his daughter, and his daughter is sick and dying. She disappears. He has to find her. On his way, he meets some plucky sidekicks that are quirky, unique, and they just try to find the daughter. I think that's all I can really say without spoilers, because I think we should try to save the spoiler stuff to the end.
Okay, fair enough.
Because this is a game probably not many people
play. If you're going to stop there, you're actually killing it, because you're like at almost 40 seconds. So I'm going to go ahead and stop you
there.
Yeah,
I think that's it. That's all I can say.
Okay. So, damn. So trying to give this away without spoilers, I'm going to take a shot. I'm just going to dive in, because what's a fucking minute? So here we go for me. Yeah. Nier is a game developed by Square Enix. It is, at its base core, a 3D hack and slash. Where you run around and you have different weapons that you can upgrade and you fight different enemies. There are boss battles. It is a very, very, very convoluted and entrapped story that spans not only this game, but brings in other games from completely different series and genres that have nothing to do with it outside of a loose thread that ties them together. It's also incredibly brilliant. And a little underappreciated. That's why I chose to talk about it. And I'm going to go ahead and stop there. That's 45 seconds.
It actually wasn't that bad.
Yeah, not bad. If we're not giving away much.
I'm glad you put in the gameplay stuff, because that's a very unique feature of the game.
And that's the core of the game. That's what you're going to do most of the time. It is a hack and slash 3D game.
That's good.
So we're going to get into it, I guess, at this point. And before we do, the game has one of the most unique and... you will hear us say the word unique a lot in reference to this game.
Sometimes, you know, esoteric. I'll say esoteric.
Yeah, fair enough. But it has one of the most unique start menu screens of any game I've ever played in my life. As soon as you start the game, before you ever hit start, you will hear this next bit of audio that I'm going to play for you here. And we're just going to let you enjoy that, because, man, it just represents the weirdness and the extremes of this game perfectly. So with further ado, enjoy this.
Vice, you dumbass! Start making sense, you rotten book, or you're gonna be sorry. Maybe I'll rip your pages out one by one, or maybe I'll put you in the goddamn furnace. How can someone with such a big smart brain get hypnotized like a little bitch, huh?
There you go. Oh, like,
Shadow
I told
Lord,
you
I love
that
you, Shadow
one.
Lord. Come over here and give
so,
Vice a big sloppy kiss, Shadow Lord.
The character you heard
Lord.
There
now,
is the character Kaine,
start
who
fucking
is,
helping us.
I'll just go ahead and throw this out here. She's my favorite character in this game. And I say she, but in reality, this character who the entire game is wearing very sexy and revealing lingerie, is actually a hermaphrodite. So
yeah,
she has both sexes, both genital sexes. She has breasts too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the tip of the iceberg of the weirdness of this game. I don't know any game I've ever played that has a hermaphrodite character.
Yeah, I will say though, since you robbed the hermaphrodite stuff, it didn't feel...
You wouldn't know.
It was very subtle. Like, unless you're kind of primed with that info, like, it's kind of a stretch, because most of the times you hear her talking, like, kind of in gender terms because of, like, the shade in her arm. So, like, you could just assume it's
that. Everybody references her as a her.
Yeah,
I will say that, but in the expanded mythos of the universe, she is a hermaphrodite.
Yeah,
but
it's like slightly more confirmation than Poison from Street Fighter.
Yeah,
it's slightly more,
yeah,
but still
fair
it's
enough.
Not like it's not in your face. Like, we're progressive. This is hermaphrodite. We're gonna get crazy. It's very subtle. In fact, like, I think unless you research past like the second playthrough,
it's hard. Yeah.
I don't think you can tell.
No,
I went in hearing she was hermaphrodite. And then, like, I was not picky up.
Yeah, you were
clues.
Looking
like,
for it. Even looking for it. Yeah, you.
No, they still haven't done anything yet, like, to prove that.
I love that Kaine, as you heard when you listened to that, she has a fucking filthy mouth, man.
Yeah.
And she talks like that through the entire game. She's constantly just using vulgar language and putting people down. And it's sort of a shield she puts up around herself, because as you have said, she is also infected with a shade, and a shade we will get more in depth into
so
later. She's
essentially a bad creature.
Yeah, it's almost like a demon.
Yeah,
but
a spirit.
They're really not demons, but you could look at it that way to simplify it.
Yes, that's how they're portrayed until the very end. in.
And so she lives on the outskirts of this town that blames her for a lot of the bad things that befall the town, even though they are not her fault. It's like, much like a movie you and I both recently watched. It was easy in the early days to blame bad crops on a witch and things like that. She gets that same rap.
Oh, that's very interesting. I never pieced together like the witch trial kind of witch panic that it is. And that's true. Like, that is very reminiscent of like the Salem witch trials. That's
exactly.
Fucking a brilliant parallel. This is why he hosts a podcast. That's pretty, pretty insightful.
I know some dumb bullshit that's about good. Nothing. Yeah. But that's exactly what it is, because she's on the outskirts of the town. And the people blame her for any bad thing that does happen because she is infected with this shade, too. But, man, I will tell you, you should, if for no other reason, you should play this game just to hear all the weird, extreme shit Kaine says in every situation.
Yeah.
She is never really polite except for a few times when she's talking to Emil. And even when she's doing that, and Emil is another character, she's saying it in a very vulgar and rough-hearted way, like, do not let these people fuck with you. You are you. You are more unique than you. You are better than them. Fuck them.
She's a strong, hard character that never belies that with her emotions.
Yeah.
She, even though you can see the subtle change in her emotions, she's still very strong and rigid and like kind of abrasive, and that's perfect characterization. Like, it's just smart. She is not my favorite character.
Okay, that's fair.
By the way.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about later. I just want to put that out there.
Well, let's go ahead. Who is your favorite character?
I love Grimoire Vice.
Grimoire Vice is fucking fun too, man.
I think he's pretty fantastic. I think Kaine's the more flashy, like in your face.
Exactly.
And cussing. She grabs your attention.
That's why I like her. It's
love
our subtle difference.
Dry wit of Grimoire Vice. And it's like, that's Alan Rickman from Dogma right there. That's like, that's what I love, is just that.
And that's perfectly you and I character. Superhero wise, I love the types that would be the kind of like the in your face,
the flashy
fuck,
ones,
just do
yeah.
it, whatever, getting the job done thing. Whereas you like the subtle reproach, and it's perfect. I totally agree with you there. So no problems, no arguments.
So I mean, I don't think they're too far off. I think they are the two best characters in the game.
Vice is really fun, and I should. Grimoire Vice is a book.
Yes,
he's a floating magical book. Mm-hmm. And he has a polar opposite called Grimoire Noir. Who is the bad guy. And there are actually 13 total books, but we are only exposed to 3 in the game.
So maybe more will be touched upon in the sequel, possibly.
Near Replicant, which will be... I'm very, very looking forward to.
It caught my attention before I had played Nier. I was like, that looks really fun and interesting.
It also helps it's developed by Platinum.
Yes, and
I love anything Platinum. Yeah. So I'm going to try to break this down a little more. So this game begins in 2049. Mm-hmm. So when it begins, you are the title character Nier. You're in Tokyo, and you're in a rundown convenience store with your sick daughter, and you are attacked by shades. Shades are the main enemy of the game. They're like these yellow, black...
I would describe them as like scribbles. Like scribbles to life.
That
like
works
black
really
scribbles
well.
With yellow eyes. They're kind of like almost like a mix with like of the Heartless and
then
something more sketchy,
I feel
like
that.
The Slender Man or like a child drawing in a horror movie.
Yeah, and they never hold a form for a while. They're constantly moving. The black and the yellow
like a
are
slinky.
Well, that and even like their skin, the black and the yellow is constantly like in a flow. It's like a lot like the code from the Matrix.
Oh, that's
is
good.
That a good analogy? Yeah. Okay.
Also, by the way, we are killing it with our visual metaphors.
I hope
right
so,
here. We
man.
Are describing this goddamn well.
I hope so. I think so. So in my brief 1 minute breakdown, I described that this game is related to other games via a thread, and I want to expand upon this a little more, because
I'm not sure where you're going with this, so I'm very
interested. This game, the entire premise in the universe, is a product of a completely separate game developed by Square Enix called Drakengard, also known as in Japan as it's called Dragon Dragoon. But anyway, in the game Drakengard, you are a knight who rides on a dragon and fights enemies, and then the final true ending of Drakengard, it's ending E, you fight the final boss called the Mother Queen, I believe is her name. She's a giant, weird female form. And when you defeat her, you are transported to modern-day Tokyo, okay? And when I say it's Tokyo year 2049.
Okay.
And as soon as that happens, the Mother Queen starts to break apart into these ash-like particles, and the Tokyo military sends attack helicopters that come out and shoot down the main character who's riding his dragon. They shoot him down with a missile and kill them. That's the ending. And that is the premise and what is the setup for Nier. Because the queen and the dragon, as they get shot down and they break apart, they release the sickness that infects everybody in the world that causes the need for everything that happens in Nier. It's so... Dude, I'm telling you, this is weird as fuck already, right?
Yes.
And you had no idea about this.
No, I'm enjoying the storytelling.
Yeah, and I will link these videos in the YouTube and in our website, because I think they need to be seen, because it's wild. Because, I mean, I'm Drakengard, up until this point, has taken place in a very medieval setting. Mm-hmm. And then to be suddenly transformed to Tokyo current year is weird as hell, and then to be shot down by attack helicopters.
Yeah. Now, this was the first Drakengard?
This is the very first one, yeah.
Now, did they ever follow up with two or three on this Nier thread?
No, not really. I don't think they ever really reference it. At this point, Nier is established and starts its own sort of spin-off universe.
Like, we're done. We'll just continue on.
Well, and it gets taken off with Nier. I just like the fact that it just sets the tone and the weirdness of this game, that it's based off this weird ending from another game that's completely really unrelated other than that.
Very different, yeah.
Yeah, so that's that whole setting. So it releases that ash. So like in the beginning, it looks like a snow sort of cold, but that's not snow. It's like the ash that is from those things.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought it was snow.
Again, and it's one of those things that you wouldn't really know unless you research this.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a cool touch. I love weird shit like that. That's what gets my goat.
I will also say, too, in credit of the game, is I didn't know any of that, and the story still works fine on its own.
Totally
fine.
You
don't need that, and it's still really good. But so it's alienating.
Yeah, but I played Nier without knowing that, too, the first time. And then when I found that, it was just like this cool... I was like, holy shit, that's awesome that they did that. They have no reason to, but it just... I don't know. It made me want to play Drakengard, and I did that for... I mean, if it was just some weird marketing thing to push. I don't see how it could, because honestly,
it was the long con they were playing on that. Well, we're going to make this game, and then in 10 years, we're going to make a game that references it, so they'll find our game then.
Like almost, you know, nobody knows about Nier as a game. Like,
no, it's pretty under the radar.
It's very under the radar.
Well, I don't think it had a marketing presence. And then because it's so weird, how do you market that game?
Yeah.
Right?
So what happened is that when the ash and stuff came in, it started to infect people, and it started to kill off massive amounts of the population. So humanity started this thing called Project Gestalt. And what Project Gestalt was they made android copies of people to continue life to a point where the sickness had not infected anymore. And they stored the souls in like a different location to eventually they would put the souls in the bodies of these android things, the Gestalts, and they would be reborn as their self. And somewhere along the line, the Gestalts formed... When I say Gestalt, I'm meaning android. The androids became self-aware and started their own lives. And so that part, the beginning of Nier, takes place in 2049.
Mm-hmm.
You fight a bunch of shades and eventually get overpowered.
So pretty much a tutorial.
Yeah. Right. And then it flash forwards 1,312 years into the future,
mm-hmm.
where things have reverted back to a much simpler time, where people live in smaller villages. There's no technology.
It's like
really
high fantasy again.
Yes.
You go from a very modern aesthetic to a high fantasy.
Yes.
Type.
And so you don't find this out till the ending. And again, heavy spoilers, but I don't think any of these spoilers take away from the game of Nier. And I really think you should experience this game. So what we're going to talk about is...
I would hold it off just how that relates, because I think it was a very cool thing when it finally clicked with me, because you see the beginning.
Yeah. And then you don't know.
And you don't know for a long time, and then you kind of forget about it, and then it's like a really cool surprise at the end. So I would leave that for someone.
Speaking of cool surprises, much like Drakengard before, this game has multiple endings. It has four different endings. But really, you only play through the full game the first time.
It's weird.
Because the second time, after you beat the game once, the second time, it starts up at the halfway point of the game, where there is a big boss fight in the main village that you're stationed in.
Mm-hmm.
So playthrough two starts right there.
Yeah, and then it's really cool too because so in the entire first playthrough kind of centered around Nier, the main character, and then playthrough two kind of focuses heavily on Kaine.
Kaine and Emile.
I thought mostly Kaine. I didn't.
Yeah, it's mostly Kaine, but Emile, that's when Emile really gets into. Is that not when he becomes ultimate weapon, Emile? I don't think that happens till the second playthrough.
It might be. I don't remember.
That's when you start getting into the mansion and finding his sister. I'm pretty sure that's second playthrough.
That's in the first playthrough, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. When he becomes.
That's the first playthrough. Yeah. Okay. One of the cool things I really enjoyed about the second playthrough was you get a lot of from the villain's perspective, is what it does.
Yeah. It switches that.
Yeah, you go through the main game, and there's, like, specifically five villains you have to fight and beat, and you kind of just go, show up, kill them. Like, there's not really much more to that. In the second playthrough, you see, like, what the villains were doing before, that they were maybe misunderstood, that they weren't actually a villain, that they had good intentions. And then Nier comes through, your main character, and just kills them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of brilliant twist, and, it, like, a great way to extend
again,
the playability
this game
of the game.
Is full of that shit. Like there's a lot of weird locations in this. Like I love the desert city, which is the land of the mask people.
Yeah.
And the mask people are bound by like 11,000 different unique rules that have to be followed by every member. And the main person that you talk to in the mask city is not from the mask city. So one of the rules that they have is that they cannot talk. So she emotes everything. And it, like the first time you play through that section, you don't really understand what people are saying. And you don't start to pick up the interpretations until multiple playthroughs of that.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's again, it's one of those weird, just subtle, unique things that influence multiple playthroughs of this game.
Yeah, I agree. I will say, I think that Desert Cities, it's very interesting that you picked that out because I think that illustrates this game perfectly. Is that Desert City has so many cool and creative ideas, but it's not quite refined enough.
Yes, yes.
Because, like, you see that city and it's like this almost M.C. Escher thing of stairs up and down. And you're like, this is really cool. And then you have to traverse it and, like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, I agree. So, I have been giving a lot of praise, but there are a lot of not great things about this game that I do want to say. There's a lot of weird bullshit that you do have to do, especially if you want to do everything.
The side quests in this game are so redundant and basic.
And cumbersome, yes.
Yeah, it's essentially just, really, it's fetch quest after fetch quest. Go here, pick up something, bring it back.
And not only fetch quest, at one point to get all the endings, you have to level up all of your weapons.
That's asinine.
And to do it, it is such a grind. And it really is.
It is.
You didn't do it, but I did it on my very first playthrough years ago. I did all of this. I didn't do it for my most recent playthrough of it.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to.
I don't know
to.
If I could do that again because those weapons are not easy to find. And then I only leveled up like maybe two weapons in the game, and that felt very repetitive.
Yeah, and you don't need to do it to beat. That's the craziest thing. You can totally stomp the shit out of it. It's not a hard game.
No, it's actually very easy.
On any level, it's not hard. But the hoops that it makes you jump through to achieve everything make it a grind, for lack of a better word. I mean, you do put in a lot of work to get to things. But
I you're probably going to butt in and undercut it with a positive. I just want
not a positive.
Okay, well, I'm going to undercut real quick with a positive. Like, yes, that is a grind. Doing that is a grind. But I don't want to turn people off to this game because if you do just the main quest, play it one, maybe two times, it's fine. Like, it's not that much of a grind if you choose not to do that 100% completionist, I need to get ending D stuff.
So, to get into this even more, you know, this is going to be the weirdest podcast, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We've already established that like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah. But like, okay, so to get even more in depth. Okay, so shades. You've heard us talk about shades. Shades are the main enemy that you fight in the game. But the shades, it turns out, are the souls of the people that were supposed to go into the replicants or the gestalts years ago. And the gestalts form their own memories and their own things. And they've lived these thousand-year-long lives. And the shades haven't been able to rejoin with their bodies, and so it makes them an angry entity and force that you as the main character are actually killing, and it's actually a bad thing that you're doing because you're wiping all of these people's souls out of existence when all they want to do is what they thought they were going to do from the beginning was rejoin these bodies. So it, again, it is such a fucking weird game. I've never played anything like this.
Well, I mean, that kind of character arc right there, I'm so glad you brought it up because it is done very well. This you're doing a thing and then at the end you learn something that kind of twists it around. And then playing that second playthrough, you're like, I'm not necessarily a good person.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing bad things. And I think it's done very effectively as opposed to Shadow of the Colossus, which is just, let's beat the shit out of some big things. And at the end, you're a bad guy, but that is not seen through any of the game.
But, and also in Nier,
it felt like a tacked on ending. As Nier, it felt integral to
the story. Well, in Nier, you find out that you're doing these bad things, but you're still motivated by the fact that you're doing it because your daughter in the game is sick. And it's like, it puts this weird twist. Like, would you also not sacrifice everything and do the bad things for the one that you love the most? It's very similar to The Last of Us with Joel and Ellie. Yeah. What Joel eventually
just
has to do.
Spoilers, because I've not played it yet.
Okay.
All right.
So, but yeah, it just in that sense, like, how much will you sacrifice for the one that you care about the most? Like, are you willing to taint yourself and go that deep just to make somebody that you care about and love better? And it's a great weird twist on that classic trope.
I think a good one. I think it's done very well.
Yeah.
I think the story
is as convoluted
is very
and weird.
Exceptional.
It's fucking amazing, dude. I will say that. And again, on the second playthroughs, you get way more in depth with the characters of Kaine and Emil. And Emil is a crazy character. He's a 14-year-old boy.
He is, I think, one. I want to say, maybe he is. I thought he was like 7 or something. Maybe he's 7 at first.
Maybe
and
he's
then
12.
He's a 14
yeah, because there is also in the middle of this
there's
game, there's a 5-year jump. After a certain point. But yeah, so Emil has this crazy power, very similar to Cyclops, where if he looks at people, also like Medusa.
Yeah.
He turns them to stone. And so for the first part of the game, he walks around with a blindfold on. But he's very powerful in magic. And Emil and Kaine can join you on quests, sort of. And they also do help you out to an extent. They fight as well.
Yeah, they're non-player characters that just kind of show up. I never thought they really added anything to the combat.
Yeah, to the combat, no.
They don't really help you. They just kind of show up and sometimes get stuck in geometry. And it's whatever.
The combat is pretty much Nier. They do assist in some... And they are, in the lore of the world, established as incredibly badass characters. But Emil has a twin sister. And when you meet Emil, you come upon this mansion that he lives in that has this sort of haunted mansion vibe. And once you get deeper into it, you find out that he was like an experiment, and so was his sister, to become this ultimate weapon, which is a common trope in all Square games. And his sister was made into the ultimate weapon, whereas he was not. But during the course, you somehow Dragon Ball Z fusion dance them together with him into his sister's dead form, and he becomes this weird skeleton body with the creepiest fucking head face in the world.
It's the oddest decision,
dude,
because it's not threatening and it's not creepy or scary,
but it also is
in that combination.
I think Emil's face after he turned, dude, it's so scary, man. It just because it's unsettling.
Yeah,
like, it makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I think they didn't have they definitely didn't have a big budget on this game. So, like, the animations are pretty crude.
Yeah.
And I think that adds to Emil because his teeth are crudely not in sync with his words.
With his mouth.
And it makes it even more creepy. So I think their budget actually worked in their favor with
it. Again, I think you should play this game just to experience the Emil transformation because once you see it, it's so off. Like, unsettling.
It is. It's, well, I mean, that's, I mean, we could talk about right just there alone is Nier, the character and boss designs are, I think, fantastic.
Yeah.
Outside of Nier, the main character himself.
He's pretty generic.
He's not only generic, but he is maybe the ugliest video game in history.
Holy fuck. So, but here's the other crazy thing is that the Japanese got a different version.
Yeah.
Where Nier in our version is... the father figure, but
this
in the
old
Jap-
man who's trying to save his daughter.
In the Japanese version, he's an older brother, but he's very androgynous. He's much more attractive. He has long flowing silver hair.
Oh, you mean like every male in an anime ever.
Exactly. He's much more that. But yes, our version is an ugly old man. And yeah. I cannot emphasize enough how fucking ugly he is.
He is. It felt like, I don't know what they were going for that character design, but it feels rushed. The way he jumps feels awkward.
The way he jumps is that he leads chest first.
It's like, and then his legs kick out in front too.
Dude, I know. It's so weird.
Everything
like, about this game is weird. I'm not lying.
It's not even bad, but like you jump and it's just like that doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah, yeah.
You walk or run, that doesn't quite feel right. The way he swings his weapons, that doesn't quite feel right. But it's never bad, and it's always. I don't know. I think it works for the game.
And I wonder if it's just like, I don't know if I'm giving more credit than is due, but I don't know if it's like a subtle thing, like because he is not a human. He is an android representation of the Nier from the beginning of the game. Like he's not a true living being. So he is awkward and weird in his movements.
Yeah.
I could be assigning more credit than is due, but.
I mean, maybe. I like to think it's because they had no budget and the game was pushed out probably way quicker than it needed to be in the development cycle. Because this game feels like I said, rough around the edges and kind of unpolished. That I feel like, no, 3 more months of game testing. And I think it would have been like, it would have been a game that everybody was talking about. It would have been like an El Shaddai or something, like some weird.
You think people talked about El Shaddai?
Maybe that's a horrible example.
Yeah, man. Because, again, example. I think I get that reference that you're going to pull out, but I don't know anybody else who's going to get El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron.
I don't know if I have another.
Because that is also another really fucking weird game that we should talk about at some point. But
I love weird games. That's Suda 51. And
yeah,
that's my
El Shaddai is a fucking great game. But yeah, totally. Here's my thing. Like, the original inspiration for me wanting to play this game, Nier, I had heard about it on the internet because it has the most unique thing in it, wherein it has 4 endings. But you get that 4th ending, what does this game do, Ryan?
Apparently, and I say apparently because I'm not foolhardy enough to do all the requirements for it, it deletes your entire save.
It deletes not only your entire save, but every other save you have related to Nier.
Yeah,
so if you have different playthroughs at different levels, they're gone. It erases the fucking game for you.
So those many hours that you have saved up, just gone if you fully beat this
game. It's fucking insane. I've never, ever heard of a game that does this. And that immediately piqued my interest. I was like, what? Yeah. And I researched it more and they're like, no, it will delete your game. You can offset it by transferring the files out to a...
Yeah, there's a workaround.
Yeah.
But I think the common person, especially the very first people that played through, there was no way they're going to know.
It makes it very painful because not only does it delete the game, what it does is like... So, like many games of this expansive nature, you have a journal, or in this game, you have Grimoire Vise, who is a book that keeps track of everything that you've done and lets you select different things. And so when you delete it, it goes page by page and shows you deleting everything. It shows you everything being erased from every page, everything that you've done and achieved, all the records, all the plants that you've grown, all these fish that you've caught.
It just really rubs it in.
It really does, man. And it's fucking brutal. And it's...
You took the time to fully play this game?
Guess
Goodbye.
What? It's this all gone.
Fuck your work.
I have no recollection of any game in my life that does this to you and deletes your file. And it makes sense in the story.
I heard Kojima was wanting to do a game like that, but he never did.
Yeah, I could see Kojima doing it, and I'm surprised he didn't.
Yeah, it feels like a very fourth wall, like...
But this game did do it.
Connection.
But it makes sense. So in ending C and D are very similar, wherein...
You should talk about those, because I didn't end up looking them up on
and
YouTube and seeing
ending
what the difference
C,
was.
Basically what happens is that the Shade in Kaine finally comes out and takes control and you have to fight Kaine.
Mm-hmm.
So in ending C, he gives you the choice. He's like, look, man, I can't help this, but you can stop it. You can either stab her through the heart and end her suffering, or you can take her place and erase yourself from existence. So ending C is you stabbing her through the heart. And it's not all bad because once you do it, the Shade still talks to you and he says, oh yeah, Kaine wanted me to tell you one last thing. And it's Kaine's voice saying, thank you, because you released her from this. Hmm. When you do ending D, you choose to take Kainé's place and you erase yourself from existence. And that is when it shows your entire file erasing. And then it picks up with Kainé awakening and picking up Yona, and they don't remember you. There's no recollection of the character Nier at all in either of their memories.
Which is really interesting, because that's probably what Nier Replicant, the second one's going to be off of, is that ending D.
I think so. It's either ending D. I think it is
it's
D.
It's probably the one where Nier is just completely erased, I would imagine. That would make most sense.
So, and again, it's just...
That's brilliant, by the way.
It's fucking amazing. Like,
that ending C with Kainé is kind of heartbreaking to hear, because it's a character you love, so like hearing the sad thank you for death is just heartbreaking. And then ending D, now you say like, choose yourself to erase from existence is kind of brilliant.
It's fucking crazy, man. It is. Again, I've never ever played or even heard of a game of this caliber that does that to you, that takes the narrative and breaks the fourth wall that way and does that to you. But man, it literally erases everything you've done. It's mind-blowing.
It is.
Another thing that I really liked, the second playthrough, ending B, that's when you find out that these two characters that have helped you through most of the game, the two chicks in the main city, Devila and Popola, are actually themselves android type scientists that have been sent to the village to monitor these Gestalt's usage. And they're actually evil, and you actually fight Devila and Popola. Is it the
first one? You fight Devila and Popola in the first one.
Okay, maybe. I always remember from the second one.
You might learn more about them, but you know they're evil and they turn in the very first one.
But I thought that was a good touch.
It was.
Because I liked Devila and Popola all the way up until that point.
Yeah, I did too. This is kind of where I first noticed the cheapness of the game, is that Devila and Popola, yes, they're twins, very convenient, are like the same character model.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, not even different colors.
They have different hairstyles,
but
that's
very,
it.
Yeah, very slight, but they are the same character model. And then you look around the village, and it's like, oh, like, there are only four types of character models in these 50 characters. It's like, I see this game didn't have a budget. and you'll see a lot of that, but that's my only complaint with Devila and Popola.
Fair enough. The thing about them, and this is going to be a good transition, I think, is Devila is the one that runs the library in the town.
That's Popola.
That's Popola. Okay.
Devila's out in the Fountain Square.
And she's the bartender. Mm-hmm. But the thing with Devila is that she sings, and she sings at night, and you can go hear her sing. And that transitions into what... another great thing about this game, when she sings, it's part of the soundtrack of this game. And the soundtrack is mind-blowing.
Well, it's great, and it's not Japanese, and it's not English. It's made-up language, right?
Well, it's not a made-up language.
Oh,
so,
what is it then?
So what had happened was there's one chick that does the vocals, and man, if I was a way better podcast host, I would have researched this and written down her name, as well as the guy who composed the music. I did not. But what I do know is that they both had this agreement. So this game takes place 1,300 years in the future from our modern era. And they decided that at that point, and with most of humanity died off, that all languages would sort of form into one general language, like the traitor language that all of Star Wars is in, which is English for us, but all characters speak it because it's how they trade. Whatever. So this soundtrack, all the vocals... They're not one set language. They flow between English and Japanese and Spanish and German and French. And so in just one song, the chick that does the vocals can flow through all of those different things. And it's so haunting and beautiful, and just it really is, in my opinion, the best game soundtrack ever. Because of the care, and it's crazy that, like, you do say that, like, budget wise you can tell where the game is sort of cut
cutting corners. Yeah,
but at no point in the soundtrack does that ever come through, and there's such a care devoted to the soundtrack of this game, where every song is resonating and it has weight and it has purpose in the section that it is in. My favorite theme is the main overworld theme, and that's one where you can definitely tell a lot of the different vocal stylings in it.
Yeah, and you have a clip of that?
Yeah, I would like to...
Or is that... Do you want to just cut there and that's it?
Well, I mean, we can't... I think we should listen to it at this point. I mean, it's great, because, again, I want... If you can, just try to pick out these vocals, because... I'm pretty sure in this one they are especially flowing between German and Japanese and a little French. So here we go. It's hard to really describe a space.
That's a beautiful track.
Yeah,
and you'll hear it probably the most of any.
Yeah, exactly. Because every time you're in the overworld and you're traveling to different places, it's the one that plays, and it's just
It's just grand, epic, and sweeping, and it's really kind of asynchronous because you step out into this very kind of barren, grassy field. But, like, you have this soaring, epic soundtrack, and it kind of is, like, at odds with how plain the game is. But it makes it grand.
Yeah,
and then you kind of get sucked in, and you're like, oh, this is fucking epic.
It's grand, but it's also, it's very medieval, and it's, like, there's not a lot of instruments going on in it. A lot of the instrumentation and the flow is her voice.
In this track.
In this track.
Yeah.
A lot of it, it's a lot of percussive. Yes. And it's just driving it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the flourish and stuff is in her vocal performance.
It's almost operatic.
Yes.
Where the voice carries it all. And the voice becomes like the harmonies and all the melodies. And it's I think it's a fantastic choice.
It's fun. And it's good. And it does stick in your head. It definitely sticks out. And if I knew any of those languages, I could see myself singing in them easier.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the one that gets stuck in my head the easiest. So.
Yeah. I mean, I have one I'd like to talk about too. And it's one of Kaine's themes. It's from the village where she was outcasted. You have to go there. And it's this kind of almost ghost town. Everybody's hidden away in their huts. Nobody wants to come out. Do you know the name of the village?
It's called the Aries.
It's the Aries.
Here's a nice thing about it that I don't know if you noticed. And if you ever do play it again, you should take note of this, is that a lot of the houses in the Aries are made up of old shipping containers.
I did notice that.
Okay, yeah. It's a way that it connects it to this world now. And it's fucking weird.
It'd be something that would be used in the, like, if something happened, like, you could use those as
yeah.
that. And it's really just, like, it's a gorgeous-looking village. Like, it's long catwalks and bridges to, like, buildings that are, like,
stuck
on
in
the side cliff. Of the...
Yeah,
yeah, you're, like, in the middle of a ravine. Like,
of a canyon, like, yeah. A ravine, yeah.
It's a gorgeous place, and then this piece of music is just so somber and sets such an atmosphere that is perfect for this location, and it's kind of perfect for being outcasted like Kaine. It's just sad, depressing, and it just marches on. It's incredible, I think. So here it is.
So, again, you know, it's really hard to talk about this game because it is very unique.
Yeah.
It is very weird. It is absolutely not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It does a lot of great things with story and the way that it presents story to you, but it's very Tarantino-esque, I would almost say, in the way that it jumps around.
It plays with time very loosely.
At one point, your daughter is kidnapped by the main bad guy of the game called the Shadow Lord, who the Shadow Lord is the one who's in control of the book Grimoire Noir. And after she is kidnapped, just like that, it says, 5 years have passed, and your character Nier is actually he changes physically. He's actually bigger and more buff. He's lost an eye, much like Snake, and he wears an eye patch.
Yeah, his face is covered up, which is a great thing. He looks much better with that face covered up.
Yeah, more the face cover, the better.
Yeah.
But then you fight the Shadow Lord. Eventually, at the end of the game, he's one of the last bosses that you fight every time.
He's kind of the big bad
yes.
of the game.
And then you actually find out that, I mean, if you've paid attention, it's very obvious that Shadow Lord looks a lot like the main character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it is the main character
from the very beginning of the game.
From the very beginning in the...
Or it's his soul, essentially.
Yes, precisely. Yeah. From the very beginning in the shopping center, or the supermarket, I should say. And he wants to... he's kidnapped Yona because Yona, through the entire game, Yona is your daughter, and she is sick. She's infected with what they call the Black Scrawl. It's not very defined, but...
it doesn't really need to be.
It doesn't. I mean... but he wants to kidnap what he essentially is taking is the android Yona to put the soul of Yona into to make her complete. Because the entire game is all about Yona and making her better. So, and it's just, it's again, at its base, it's a weird contrasting view of which Nier is doing the right thing. Because they both do very bad things to achieve the goal of protecting Yona. And which Yona is the right one to protect.
Yeah.
It really plays with you on that level. It's doing a lot. And I think the one big complaint I have is that it doesn't fully expand on and explain a lot of what it's doing to the lay player. Like,
I kind of like that.
Yeah, I do too. But yeah. Joe Schmo, who's going to pick it up, is going to be like, what in the fuck is this game?
Well, maybe that's the problem, is Joe Schmo didn't pick it up, and it's not a Joe Schmo game, and maybe that's why it didn't do so well, and it's not well received by many people, but...
we're getting a sequel now, baby.
That's the thing, is I kind of like that they didn't explain everything in the universe, because it does set up like a sequel to expand on some more things, so it doesn't become just a rehash of the first one. You can actually, you know, break new ground
yeah.
in a sequel. So I like
to do
that.
Things. Yeah.
I like that. I don't have an issue with that. I mean...
Yeah.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
I have nothing else to say. I was going to start wrapping up unless you have more things to say.
Oh, well, I just I really want to make sure that we talk about the gameplay real quick. And
yeah.
It doesn't have to be long, but... and it's kind of hard to talk about on an audio show without visual aids, because this game is so dynamic in like all of the game types it references, because it plays kind of like an action RPG, like Kingdom Hearts or something.
Or like
a
Zelda on crack.
A little bit like Zelda, yeah. And then it also has elements of like a Japanese shoot 'em up.
It has those.
It's like a bullet hell at times.
And then it also has a lot of MMORPG things.
Yes.
Where like there's fishing.
Mm-hmm.
There's you can do gardening in this game to grow these crazy flowers.
It's very Japanese sim.
Yes,
almost
a
which
lot
is
of
fine.
Yeah, there's just a lot of weird things that you do in this game.
It is like you're talking about the mansion slash facility where you take a meal to meet his sister weapon.
Yeah.
It kind of goes into like a top down like Contra or like Hotline Miami type of gameplay.
Yeah.
And like the game does like some really interesting things with camera angles, and like that's one of them. Like anytime you enter a house, it becomes like a flat 2D Wes Anderson like type of
And that's like, a good point. I didn't even...
the camera angles are just so creative. And it's like, this is the thing with Nier, is I read an article that it is the perfect example of a 7 out of 10 game. It's not perfect. There are flaws. But they tried so goddamn hard, and it shows, like, whatever limited resources. Because I truly believe if this game was given a higher budget, like, it would have been, like, 10 out of 10s. And, like, you'd hear about this game. But because it didn't have that budget, like, I think they really tried to do something interesting.
I think... if it's a three-tier system, gameplay is the weakest leg of this.
Oh, for sure. It's just the mechanics, like the the way you level up your weapons and is kind of cumbersome, and like the letters and words you get to upgrade your magic and self.
Yeah, your spells that you cast are called words, and you find them by defeating enemies, and then you activate them in Grimoire Vise.
Yeah, it just looks kind of... it's not visually appealing, and it doesn't feel satisfying.
Exactly.
Ever.
I know exactly. Like when you cast a spell. It's like, is this the right thing I'm doing? I don't know.
And it's like a thing that with playtesting, you could pinpoint like the feedback where it feels good. And they're just not there yet. And that's like it's kind of sad.
I think during the development of this game, though, I mean, it is Square Enix. I'm pretty sure they were pretty deep into Final Fantasy 13, which...
This is a side... This is the back burner project.
Exactly.
It feels like it, which is sad because I would argue it's a much better game than Final Fantasy 13.
And I'm a big fan of Final Fantasy 13, but I think it's much better. And it is sad.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that I'm very thankful that I cannot believe this game got made. Much like I said a long time ago with Fear and Loathing, like, I cannot believe this is a game published by a AAA studio, like Square Enix.
I mean, to that point, like, this kind of game exists where it's like Zelda, where you have different dungeons you have to conquer.
Yep.
One of those dungeons is a straight up text adventure game where you're just reading white text for probably 30 minutes.
And it's very similar
and choosing like paths
to the Zelda and the Chrono Trigger and the early Final Fantasy where it's a haunted forest.
Yeah, it is. And you have the desert temple area too. Like, that's where the Gorons
are. But
Gerudo Valley.
The haunted forest area can become, much like in Zelda, it's a cycle that repeats if you're not making the right choice. But it does it in such a way that it's just different and unique, man. I don't know. I'm really glad I try to talk about this game to everybody, and it's so hard to, because even talking about it at this link with you, I think we've gotten pretty good in it, but I mean, there's so much more that can be discussed in Nier. Like,
if we're wrapping this up, I mean, Kyle, would you recommend Nier?
I would, but with the asterisk, not to everybody.
Who would you exclude from that?
The casuals, you know, people that...
Sorry, old people.
Nier
is not for you.
Not so much old people, but there are
people... Go back to your Wii Sports.
Wii Sports, people that enjoy the yearly Call of Duties, and that's...
Well, that's me.
Yeah, I mean...
I like them. They're fun.
But you also like other things, but there are some people that only play that, or only play the yearly Madden.
You can say bros.
They're not so much bro. I mean, I'm one of those guys. I haven't played a yearly Call of Duty for a while.
Halo bros. Hell bros.
I am a Halo bro. Love that Halo. Again, it's not for everybody. I know people that I talk to that would like this game and appreciate it and get it on that level. You are absolutely one of them, and that's why I did that.
Yeah.
And that's why I recommended it. But there are other people I talk to on a daily that would totally hate this game and not get it and not appreciate it. So I just wouldn't recommend it. So it's a yes for me with an asterisk. What about you?
Well, I'm going to say it's an emphatic yes regardless. Like, if you like video games and you're not just a person who only plays Call of Duties or like these yearly anthologies and you don't like to adventure in your games, it's not for you. It's never going to be for you. I'm not talking to you, and I don't do podcasts for you. If you listen, awesome, but I'm not talking to you. If you're into video games, this is like going to the movies and seeing like Kung Fu Hustle or something. It's just this really weird, energetic thing that you're not going to see anywhere else. And it's just, you need to see it.
Because yes, you do need to. I think.
There are flaws. There are warts. It doesn't matter. This is almost games as art.
I'm so glad you feel this way about this game.
It's very artistic.
We had not talked about this until this point, but I'm very glad you agree with me on this
very
point.
Very clunky mechanical, but it is beautiful and moving.
Love
and
it.
Artistically deep. And just, I don't think you can say anything else.
To break it down even further, I would just say this. If you like Zelda, you should play Nier.
Yeah.
I think that that's as broad as I can get. If you enjoy Zelda, give Nier a try. So it'll feel very similar, but it'll do a lot of things differently. So
agreed.
There we go. That's really all I've got to say. I mean, I could talk a lot longer, but I don't want to because we want to keep it somewhat respectful and meaningful in time.
Yeah, we can.
I mean, we could. I'm really glad. I had no idea you felt this way about it.
Yeah, I try to keep my cards close to the chest.
Yeah,
and never really show like how I'm feeling.
Which
but...
is weird now because one of my greatest things about you is that we always talk about games and movies, and it's weird because
now
when I see you
to the podcast.
Yeah, outside of the podcast, we don't talk about them. Let's save it. But I'm very glad. I'm very happy that.
Oh, I absolutely love it.
I'm glad that I picked this one and that it was well received.
I was looking at my list of games played around this last year. I'm very neurotic. I record every single game and movie I play or watch and then rate them with an A through F scale, right? And Nier's like one of two or three A's.
Awesome.
For
fucking
all of
A,
the
man.
Year.
I'm like, very glad about that.
It's an A minus, I think, because of
that's
the rough
cool.
edges. But
hey, man.
I love this game.
Good. Awesome.
I loved it.
High five on that one. Let's
that was
do
a
that.
Great choice. And that was a fucking amazing high five.
That was a good one, bro.
Fixer, there you go.
Yeah, learn that from
fantastic
the high five.
Let's see you do better.
So let's conclude this.
Also,
out.
I'm really sorry, Fixer. Please don't hurt me.
Brian, would you please do that thing you do so well and give out our contact information?
Absolutely. Please come to Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/experiencegrind. Go on twitter.com. Don't go to Experience Grind.
At Experience Grind Podcast.
Don't
ESP
do
Grind
that.
Podcast.
Don't do that this week. You
look
should
for
go
at
Sound ENG Andy.
That's Sound Engineer
right.
Andrew. That's our best friend, the guy that keeps this podcast running. We talk. He does all the behind the scenes work. That's where you want to go, folks. So
he has to listen to us. That's his job. You should feel sorry for this guy.
He does like us. I don't know if he likes us that much.
No, but he puts up with us.
Or if he's just
for some
he's
reason.
So far down into it now, he couldn't leave. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
But you should give Sound Engineer Andy a follow for real.
Send him your
on
love.
Twitter.
Send him nice tweets.
Sound Eng Andy. And hey, if you want to hear him, send him a request on what you want him to talk about.
You
know,
if we get enough people saying they want to hear Sound Engineer Andy,
and they send him
what has to by power of internet,
whatever movie he wants to talk about, I will tell you this: he does not like the movie Drive. So we won't do Drive again, but
I think,
you know, something in that wheelhouse, maybe.
I think he likes a total of 4 movies ever.
Yeah.
So I would love to have him come on and fight that comment. But
two
I
of
think
those
he
are
only likes 4 movies.
Or porno movies.
One is Debbie Does Dallas.
Yes, absolutely.
I know that. But the 2003 remake, that's the one.
I mean, I like it because there's tits, ass, and balls. But artistically, it holds nothing to the 1980s Debbie Does Dallas.
That's true. It was real grainy. It made you feel. It made you feel for her.
It was real gritty.
It was
a gritty remake.
It was.
Though it was not needed.
It was like Taxi Driver, but with a lot more dick. So that was our contact information.
With like 2 of them. We're also at www.experiencegrind.com. You can always email us at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com.
That was good.
Follow us on Twitch. I'm fucking streaming almost all the time, and it will be double fold once I get the console capture card to capture everything pre-PS4 and PC era.
Oh, that's going to be so fun.
And that is at twitch.tv/experiencegrind. You can find us there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not established yet, but we are putting everything on YouTube.
Yeah.
We will link this. We don't have a YouTube name, but...
We'll get it. Subscribe to us, like us, and we'll get there.
Once we get 100, we can make a custom YouTube... Mm-hmm. Website page name.
Easy link for you
so
to come find us.
If you subscribe to us there, it'll make our job easier. As always, you know, if you've got this far, thank you so much, guys. If you have reached this far, let's throw one of these out here.
What word?
Hashtag cheeseball.
Cheeseball.
Is that okay? Yeah. I mean, it makes no sense.
I mean, it's okay.
It's better.
I was going to make some kind of Trump thing.
I know. I'm glad we didn't then, because Trump is going to become obsolete in like a year when he doesn't win the election.
Trump's rump lump. Text us Trump's rump lump.
Text us either Trump's rump lump or cheeseball, and we'll know who your favorite host is. Ryan says Trump's rump lump. I say cheeseball.
All right, just before you make this decision, out loud say to yourself Trump's rump lump and tell me you're not having fun.
I'm
Trump's
not gonna
rump
say
lump.
It. I'm not. I'm gonna stay neutral on this.
Right. As always, I'm not. Pick me.
Send one of those. Thank you guys as always.
Thank you guys.
I cannot tell you if you listen to this podcast, we really appreciate you. And if you do listen, reach out to us. Please
absolutely.
Tell us something to watch, something to play. I promise you, we will fucking do it. Hands down, guaranteed. And you'll get a call out on the show.
Yeah.
Maybe something else. Hand job or a sticker.
I promise one of those.
Yeah, one of those. As always, thank you guys. You're the best.
Kyle will be doing the stickers.
Grind out.